In the Song of Moses, he has that line in there about not turning his face away from his people, right? We don't want him to turn his face away from his people. Amen. And we're going to talk, it's kind of interesting, we're going to talk a little bit about that today in the message that I put together. So we're going to ask the Father not to turn his face away from us. We want his face to be shining upon us. And then another thing that was interesting is in the song selection today in that Exodus Road Band, Let Me Hear Your Voice, which is one of my favorite songs. It's just an awesome song. We need to learn to listen. We need to learn to listen. And we have to find those places in our lives where we can do that. And give him an opportunity to speak to us. So I'm asking for that today, that we get settled down and not get too far ahead on what's coming for the week. I know we're all excited because Sukkot's here, but we still have Shabbat today. And this is still his time that he has allocated for us to be in his presence today. So, Father, I ask in Yeshua's name that we do get ourselves settled down, Father, in our hearts and our souls. Father, that we can, Father, get ourselves in a place where we can hear what your spirit is saying to this assembly and to this body, Father, because we need to hear from you. We need your instruction. We need your direction. Father, we call on your name. We ask for your for your guidance and grace, Father, in Yeshua's name. We ask for your anointing to rest on this house, Father, and we call upon you today, Father. We call on the name of Jehovah. We ask for your Holy Spirit. We ask for your presence in this fellowship today, Father. We ask, Father, that our hearts would be full of light, Father, in a dark world. We ask, Father, that we would be transformed, Father, that we would be made new in the transformation of our thinking, Father, that it won't just be something we talk about, it's something that happens. Father, we call on you. We're not in a rush today, Father. We're not in a rush today, Father. We call on you, Father. We always want to rush through your presence. I don't know why we do that. But today we slow down, Father. Today we take our time, Father, because we're not in a hurry. We want, if you just want to linger, Father, in your presence and you walk in our midst, Father, we're good with that.
Yes.
We're good with that, Father. So today I ask for your anointing to rest on this message, not because it's me, but because it's your word, Father. I ask that we'd have ears to hear what your Ruach is saying to this assembly, Father, as we get settled down. And Father, just pay a total attention to you today, Father. We give you our heart and our soul in Yeshua's name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen and amen. All right, well, I'm not Tom. And he's already down at the park for those that are going down to Sukkot, so he's wanted to get down there a little early and help get things set up, you know, tomorrow early morning and all that. So he asked me to if I would speak today, so I said yes, so I'm up here. So getting started, I was praying and been looking at a few things for a couple weeks anyway, but then when he asked me to prepare a message, I was praying about it, and I always pray, Father, give me something that's relevant. I want something that's for the body. I don't want to be a word tactician. You know, there's enough of that in the Messianic body. We have word tacticians that want to arm wrestle over things. I'm not that person. I want to hear from the Spirit of God.
Amen.
All right, I need the Holy Spirit to be ministering to us. I need a fresh outpouring in my life each and every day. So yes, the word's important, but I don't want to arm wrestle over stuff. I want his Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. And he'll get me there. He'll get us all there. All he wants is our hearts. I'm already worked up and I haven't even started, Ellie. In preparing for the message this week, a thought came to my heart about our relationship with the Almighty. And realizing that sermons and teachings can be beneficial if we can actually remember them. Because very few take notes, right? Very few take notes. I think I see Scott taking some notes occasionally, but maybe a couple other people. But we blow out of here after the message, and within 30, 40 minutes, we can't even remember what was taught. So I guess it does hold some value occasionally. But, you know, there's times where I tease my brother. He goes to another church on Sunday, and sometimes we'll go over to their house Sunday afternoon late to hang out for a little bit. And I'll say, did you go to church today? Yeah. What was the message on? It must have been good. It must have been good, because you can't remember anything. But sometimes he does. So I'm sure that sermons and teachings can be beneficial when we actually remember them, and if they're actually based on the truth. If we actually get taught the truth, maybe they're beneficial. But there are some dynamics about our relationship with God himself, Jehovah, and with others, with each other for that matter, that we can't be taught. I can't teach you some things about your relationship with God. Nobody can. It can't be taught, because it's a relationship that must happen through experience.
Amen.
It happens through experience. I can't teach you to have an experience with God. That's between you and him. It's getting to know one another through the sharing of life's experience with each other. That's how we get to know each other. And that comes with time, right, over the course of time. And in that, how we and others react or respond to those experiences. That's where we get to know one another. How do I react to certain things? How does Patty react to certain things? After 30 years, we know some, not all. But, you know, we know what to do and what not to do, you know, because of life with each other. When challenges or storms come our way, do we show ourselves faithful? Do we show ourselves faithful? Are we rooted and grounded in our relationship with our Father? Are we rooted and grounded? By this time, we should be, I would think. Many of us, we've been believers for years and years. Or do we become unhinged, being tossed to and fro, like James says, unstable in all of our ways? Are we unstable in all of our ways when we're faced with challenges? Isaiah 26:3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you." Because he trusts you. And in Psalms 119:165, it says, "Abundant peace belongs to those who love instruction. Nothing can make them stumble." Nothing can make them stumble. So we have perfect peace if our mind is stayed on him. And then we have abundant peace if we love his word. But it's kind of like a caveat there. We actually have to keep our minds on him in order for that to work. So there's something that we need to practice, or something that we need to do. We have to keep our minds on him, and it takes some practice. I've been actually trying it this week. It's work. You got to get in and settle down, and you start going up again. You got to settle down. It's practice. It's practice doing that. Now, I can read these scriptures to you like I just did, a part of my teaching. But it's in the experience of your relationship with Jehovah that you'll learn to trust him and to love his instruction, his Torah. I mean, I can read these scriptures to you. You may not remember them on your way home. But if you did and you took them home and you start meditating on them, then maybe he'll speak to you and he'll teach you what his word is actually saying. Has he been trustworthy to you? Do you love spending time in his word? Do you love spending time in his instructions? Do you love spending time in his presence? Do you love spending time in his presence? Is it a delight? Is your mind in a place of peacefulness and rest? Is our minds and our souls, have them in a place of peace and rest within ourselves and with him? The two scriptures above, a promise of perfect and abundant peace to those whose mind is stayed on him, who actually love his instructions. The word peace in both of these scriptures is shalom. Shalom. Okay? And using my Bible tool, I just looked at a few descriptions of shalom. And they are completeness. And we know this, right? I'm not saying anything that most of us in here haven't looked up ourselves, but it's good to have a reminder. Completeness, soundness, welfare, safety, health, prosperity, quiet, tranquility, and even friendship. And I could use all of the above.
Amen.
I could really use everything that I just mentioned. I could use completeness. I can use being sound. I can want to get myself in a place where I feel protected and safe and healthy. I want to feel like that if I work hard and apply myself that I'll prosper.
Amen.
I want to have moments of tranquility where my mind's not racing around and my heart's not troubled. I want that. I desire that. What else is there to achieve? What else is there to long for except that shalom within His presence?
Yes.
Isn't that what we're trying to get to?
Yes.
Isn't that what we're hoping when Yeshua comes back and we're going to be transformed, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to shed this flesh, we're going to get into that shalom, and we're going to say, thank you, Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I mean, I've been toiling with this stuff for 60 years. I'm fed up with it. Recently, I was reading through the book of Jeremiah. And of course, Jeremiah, through the instruction from God Himself, is pleading with Judah to repent and turn back to Jehovah before Babylon is let loose and they're taken off into captivity. I mean, he's, please turn around. Please repent. So I'm going to read Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is. Where the good way is. And walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. We will not walk in it. I set a watchman over you saying, pay attention to the sound of the shofar. But they said, we will not pay attention. And I believe there's a sound of a shofar blowing today. In the spiritual realm, I believe there's a sound of a shofar telling us to pay attention.
Amen.
To His word and what He is saying to us. Therefore, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing a disaster upon this people, the fruit of their own devices, because they have not paid attention to my words. And as for my Torah, they've completely rejected it. There was an offer made by God Himself to His chosen, to His inheritance. Do you know that we're His inheritance?
Amen.
Do you know that we're His inheritance?
Yes.
And that we're His chosen?
Yep.
Right? That's who we are. That's who we are. So there was an offer made by God Himself to us, to His chosen, to His inheritance, to his inheritance, to walk in His ways. And in doing so, finding rest for our souls. Who would like to have rest in our souls? I got two, Ellie. I got two in the whole house. All right. Everyone else wants to be in turmoil and tossed to and fro. There'll be another message after this one for you, okay? It's a rough crowd, Randy. It always has been, though. I mean, unfortunately, the offer was rejected, as it is many times today, because He's still offering that to us. He's still offering that to us. Will we turn? Will we repent? Will we come into the boundaries of His instruction? Will we walk in that? Will we be obedient? Will we turn? Will we listen to Him? Will we operate in that? It's there. The invitation's there. So, as I become a little bit more mature in age, I'm 60, and hopefully in my relationship with Jehovah, I've come to realize, even more recently, that I don't want to live my life in opposition to God.
Amen.
It's finally dawned on me.
Yay.
It's finally dawned on me. I don't want to live in opposition to God, to Jehovah, the creator of life, but I want to live in harmony with Him.
Yes.
I want to live in harmony with Him. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? It would be stupid to live a life in opposition to the Almighty. I'll not win that standoff, and neither will anyone else. We just saw what he said to Judah. It has never ended well for those that live in opposition to God.
Amen.
I want to live in harmony. I want to live like an orchestra playing, everyone playing the same note. I've used this example before. If you ever watch stringed instruments, violins and cellos and like in an orchestra, and they have little, I didn't know this until Andrea Wright told me a few years ago, but there's actually markings when they play. They're all supposed to have their bows going the same direction, and they're playing music, and this one plays a little different. There's a first chair, there's a second chair, there's a third chair, there's another, there's a person playing this, and they play a little different note. But when you bring them together, it's beautiful. It's beautiful, and their bows are all moving, and when you watch them, it's beautiful to even watch. And most of the string players really get into it. You ever see them, and they're going, and they're just sawing on the strings? All right, I mean, they're getting totally into it. What about if we got totally into it with our Father and worshiping and praising Him and living in harmony with Him and with each other? Think what we could have.
It'd be awesome.
It'd be wonderful. It'd be wonderful. So, if taken as offer to walk in His good way, there is a promise of finding rest for our souls. And it's interesting that I looked up that word rest in that scripture in Jeremiah. And the word for rest here is not Sabbath, like it is in many of the other scriptures that use the word rest. This word is margoa, margoa. And it simply means rest. And it comes from the root raga, to be at rest or repose. And that's all it really said. But according to the Bible program I use, it's the only time that word is ever used in Scripture. In that one Scripture. Why? There was an offer made there. It's the only time it was ever made. It might be good to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. To His body. So, just for kicks and grins, as a reference, I looked up the word repose in the dictionary because there wasn't a lot in the Bible program that I use. So I use like the 1828 Webster's, and I'll use others. But there was a few definitions that caught my attention when I looked this up. But the word repose means freedom from disturbance of any kind. Freedom from disturbance of any kind. Of any kind. He's offering this to us. He's offering to, don't get distracted. Don't be disturbed. It means tranquility. Tranquility and freedom from uneasiness. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Amen.
Wouldn't that be wonderful just for a few moments to be tranquil? And not have any uneasiness, and not have the cares of this life, and not have the noise of little school kids on a school bus just for a little while. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful to be in a place with our Father where it's shalom?
Amen.
Let's not get in a rush today. Let's not get in a rush today. He wants to offer us something today. He wants to teach us something today. He wants us to learn something today. He wants to settle us down. You'll get to Sukkot. I promise you will. And if you don't get there till 10:30 instead of 10:20, it's okay. It's okay. You'll get there. You're going to be there the whole week. By the time it's over, you'll be tired of seeing each other, and you'll be driving 90 miles an hour to get home. Okay? It's tranquility and freedom from uneasiness. After a toil of battle, to repose your wearied virtue. It's to provide tranquility and freedom from uneasiness. After the toil of battle, to repose your wearied virtue. We're in a battle every day with our flesh.
Amen.
It's annoying. And it starts early. It starts early. Tell it, you know, that you're going to start trying to eat better. And that lasts till about 8:40. Right? And then you're in the pantry. I think we could all use some freedom from ongoing distractions or disturbances to find freedom from uneasiness. So I was thinking about this. And I've been practicing it. And I'm not saying that I've been very successful at it, but I have been. I thought, well, if I'm going to teach it like Elling wrote down the Song of Solomon, or Song of Moses, I thought, I'm going to actually practice this. And it's work. But we often, today, we often greet each other with Shabbat Shalom on Shabbat. But like many other phrases, it can turn somewhat into a cliche. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, how you doing? Shabbat Shalom. And it's not a meaning salutation. We really don't extend our heart. It's just something we say now, right? Even on Shabbat, a time separated unto God, a time to be refreshed. And I've seen this. And you may be one of the people who've done this. I don't know. But there's times when we'll stare at our clocks on our phones, counting down the seconds to sundown.
Yeah.
Right? We're looking at it. We know exactly what time sundown is. We look on our iPhones. It's 7:18. Someone comes up to talk to us, and we say, stop. What's wrong? 19 seconds left, and then we have sundown.
Yeah.
Right? And then I said, like a sprinter in a block, running a 100-yard dash, we rush back into the busyness of our agendas. I don't know how many times at Shabbat I'll hear somebody, I got to go, we got to go, we got to go, we got to get moving, we got to go. Where are you going? We're going to meet Giuseppe at the Cracker Barrel. I mean, I don't know. Where are we going? This is the day for us. This is the day we're supposed to come and spend with each other. Some of us don't see each other all week. This is it. I mean, some of you get to hang out, but not all of us do. We go back out to the jungle, and we're there until the next Saturday. So we want to see us, but everyone's, oh, we got to get going. We got to get home. Why do you have to get home? We got to get ready for tomorrow. We got to get, well, settle down. Settle down.
Linger.
Share with somebody. Minister to somebody. Listen to somebody. And while in our own minds, we think that this attitude is actually pleasing to Jehovah because we're waiting 19 seconds before we talk about work. And I've seen this before. Someone said, I'm just waiting, you know, 4 minutes. I need to go talk to so-and-so, but I don't want to talk to him because I have 4 minutes left before Sunday. And not only that, it's still daylight out. And we're looking at our phones. It's the same people that stand on the roof for 3 days looking for the moon before they'll begin the new month. And they got the iPhone over here saying the sun's down. Make up your mind. It's still daylight out there. Well, Steve Jobs says the sun went down 32 seconds ago. Well, it wasn't good enough in the beginning of the month. I know, Ellie. I meant Apple. So settle down. And like I said, while in our own minds we think this attitude is actually pleasing to God, I wonder if that's really the case. I wonder if I'm almost kind of thinking, if we have that attitude, just go ahead and do what you want. I mean, who are you fooling? Him? He knows your heart. If you're unsettled and fidgety and you can't get settled down on Shabbat, then just go ahead and do what you want. Because your heart's not there anyway. He wants our hearts. He wants our hearts. Our good Father extends an offer. Will we cease walking in opposition to Him and walk in His good way? And in that find the rest that we all need so desperately. That we all need so desperately. And this rest will not come because our lives are free from challenges or temptations, but because our minds and our hearts are fixed on Him. Because our hearts and our minds are fixed on Him. And it's not something that any teachers that you listen to can give you, but will come from an experiential relationship with you and God Himself. It'll come between you and Him. And I'd like to go back to right after the golden calf incident when Moses is having a conversation with God. And I'm going to read a few scriptures here. So, you know, just again, settle and we'll get through them. But it's Exodus 33, 5 through 16. So it's a few scriptures. It's a whole story. So I'm going to read it and then we'll talk about it. For the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites you're a stiff-necked people. If I should go with you for a moment, I would destroy you. Now take off your jewelry, take off your ornaments, and I'll decide what to do with you. So the Israelites stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it at a distance outside the camp. He called it the tent of meeting. And anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Then whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would stand at the entrances to their own tent and watch Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and remain at the entrance, and the Lord would speak to Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud, the presence of God standing at the entrance to the tent, they would stand up and worship, each one at the entrance of his own tent. Thus the Lord would speak to Moses, panim panim, face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young assistant, Joshua, the son of Nun, would not leave the tent. Moses, you go deal with them. I will stay here in the presence of my holy father. Okay? Then Moses said to the Lord, these are pretty frank discussions. I love them. And Tom mentioned, I think, on Yom Kippur about some very frank discussions some of the patriarchs had with the father. Then Moses said to the Lord, look, you've been telling me lead this people up, but you have not let me know who you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor in my sight. It sure doesn't feel like it. Has anyone else ever felt like that? Now, indeed, if I have found favor in your sight, please let me know your ways. Let me know your ways. Let me know you. Let me know you. And find favor in your sight. Remember that this nation that you're having me lead is your people. These are your people. And the Lord answered and said, my presence will go with you. And that word for presence is panim. My face will go with you. My face will, when you see presence, when you see face, it's panim. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. And we're going to talk about that word rest. It's a little bit different than the other definitions I gave. If your presence does not go with us, Moses replied, don't lead us from here. Don't lead us from here. And I just wonder, today, if any of us feel the same way. If any of us feel the same way. If you're not going to go with us, then don't lead us from here. We need you to lead us. We need you to direct us. For how then can it be known that your people and I have found favor in your sight unless you go with us? And how will we be distinguished from all the other people on the face of the earth? We're supposed to be distinguished. And Tom mentioned a few weeks ago in one of his messages, we're not all that different than the world. We have high divorce rates. We're just as sick as the world. We've got division in the body. We've got issues. We're not all that different. And we should be distinguished from the world. There should be a difference. I'm not saying there's no difference, but there's a lot of similarities at times too. I love this exchange between Moses and God himself. It was honest, transparent, and it was real. It was honest, and that's what he's looking for from me and you. Amen. Honest, transparency, and he wants a real conversation with us. He wants a real conversation with us. Me and you. Not to your neighbor, maybe not even to your spouse right now, but between you and him. Between you and him. So a couple of observations that I made just looking at these verses. Moses used to take the tent and pinch it at a distance outside the camp. So Moses placed his tent away from the distractions of the many. His tent was away from the camp. He called it the tabernacle of meeting, or the tent of meeting. That is the word moed, moedim. So when you see tent of meeting, it's tent of moed. And it's an appointed time, place, or meeting. An appointed time and place where he would meet with Jehovah, and Jehovah would speak to him as one does face to face. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting or the tent of Moed outside the camp. But there were those who would simply look on at a distance, perhaps even allowing their relationship with God to occur through Moses instead of experience his presence for themselves. And Tommy taught on that, I think it was last week in the Torah portion, right? About the person from the worldwide Church of God, that many looked at him as their source and not to God himself. So the Father wants us to have real, meaningful discussions in a real relationship with him. And you've got to love Joshua in verse 11. I've always loved this verse. Moses. It was verse 11 of the one I just read. Yeah. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man who speaks to his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young assistant, Joshua, the son of Nun, would not leave the tent. Why would he want to? Why would he want to? Why would any of us want to? Why would any of us want to leave the presence of God Almighty? Amen. Have we learned to sit there yet? Because if you did, you wouldn't want to leave. If you did, it would be a top priority in your life because you'd want to go back there. I have my time in the morning, and when I'm finished, I have a little joke with the Lord. And I say that little commercial that used to come on to Dunkin' Donuts, time to make the donuts. Right? It's time to go to work. I mean, I've been really enjoying our time here this morning, but now I got to go make the donuts. I got to go make the donuts. I got to go work. Right? So I would rather be with him. And not that he's not with me, but you know what I mean. I mean, just not distracted with people asking me to do things. In the Jewish circles, it's customary to read Psalm 27 during the time of Teshuvah, or reflection, we're just coming out of. So I'd like to read a few verses from that psalm. It's verses 4 and 5, and then I'm going to skip down to verses 8 and 9. One thing I've asked of the Lord, this is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. Where are we running off to? It says he'll hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. Ellie mentioned conceal. He'll conceal me under the cover of his tent. He'll lift me upon a rock. Is his word true or not? Is his word true or not? Can we count on this?
Yes.
Is that our prayer? Is there a better place than dwelling before the beauty or the delightfulness of our Father? He gives us these promises. I'm going to shelter you in the time of trouble. Patty was sharing with me this week. She was listening to somebody, and the hurricane came through Florida last week, and it was humongous. And the person she was listening to said, yeah, there's storms all around us, but God's people should be in the eye of the storm, in the shelter, in the calmness. Yes, there's stuff swirling all around us, but he's got us in the palm of his hand.
Amen.
Thank you, Ellie. Is that our prayer? Is there a better place than dwelling before the beauty of the Lord? That, Father, the one thing I desire is to stay in your house all the days of my life.
Yes.
To gaze on your delightfulness. To be protected in the day of trouble. To be in your shelter, to be in your refuge, to be protected. And then down to verses 8 and 9. You said, seek my face. Your face, my heart says, your face I do seek. But like the song of Moses, Father, don't turn your face away. Don't turn your face away. I'm facing you. I'm calling on you. My heart's crying out to you, Father. Show me your face.
Yes.
Take me somewhere with you. I don't want to go if your presence is not going. Take me out.
Amen.
I don't care. Verse 9, hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast not me off, forsake not me, me not, O God of my salvation. I'm not thinking that Joshua was all that interested in leaving the presence of God. He had quite the call on his life. And we'll probably read about that next week if we're down to the last chapter in Deuteronomy. Moses lays hands on Joshua and it's go time. And then the Father says to Joshua, meditate in my word day and night and don't let it leave your mouth or your heart, and in your ways you'll prosper. Moses had a call on his life. He didn't want to leave the presence of God. Maybe he had an insight of what he was going to get himself into. There might be a few of you guys in here that actually have a call on your life, and you might get into something and you're going to be like, how did I get here? I need that anointing. I'm not thinking that Joshua was all that interested in leaving the presence of the Lord and walk back into the noise of the voices of the opinions of many. I think the much more peaceful and safer place is the Moed of the Almighty.
Amen.
Entering his dwelling place and seeking his face. Psalms 31, 19 and 20, we have this. How great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you. You guys good? All right. Great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for the sons of men on those who take refuge in you. You hide them in the secret place of your presence. You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the schemes of men. You conceal them from the shelter of accusing tongues and falsehood. But where is that secret place of your presence? You hide them in the secret places of your presence from the schemes of men. We all have been offered rest where we are free from disturbances of any kind, tranquil and free from uneasiness. But have we found that place? Have we found that place? Are we there? Are we there? And where would that place be? Where would that place be? We see there where Moses and Joshua would commune with God himself in the tent of meeting. In the tent of meeting, in the divine appointment, in the divine place, at a divine time. In Psalms 27, we're encouraged to remain in the house of the Lord at all for all of our days to inquire and learn of him. And now in Psalm 31, we're to take refuge in him in the secret place of his presence. Is his word real? Is there a secret place of his presence? To take refuge is kasah. That means I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm going to confide in you. I'm going to have my hope in you. And it's in you that I'm going to flee to protection. Not away from you. I'm going to flee towards you.
Yes.
And we learn this in the secret place of his presence. That's where we learn this. The word secret here is sather. It's a covering. It's a hiding place. Check out this definition, the secret place of the womb. The womb should be the safest place there ever is.
Amen.
The womb should be the safest place there ever is. That's where human souls are created. And it's in that place he wants to take us with him. in that protection, in the womb of His presence. And He wants us to dwell with Him and abide. Guess what? In order to dwell and in order to abide, we actually have to dwell and we have to abide. We can read about it.
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who abides under the shadow of the Almighty, he shall be protected. I'm saying of the Lord, He is my refuge and my salvation. Let's go.
No. He actually wants you to slow down. He actually would like you to enter into a divine appointment with Him and actually spend time with Him. He would actually like you to reschedule something in your life to make an appointment with Him instead of making Him an option in your day. We want to work Him into our schedules instead of making Him our life. No. Him first.
Yeah.
Him first. Then the other things. And if the other things get in the way, take them off. You can catch up on the show later. You can catch the show later. I'll tell you the ending. I don't even know the show. And I haven't looked at the news for 5 months. Would you like me to tell you the news? It's the same thing when I left it 5 months ago. I did sneak the other day. The same thing. I haven't missed a thing. Rand Paul still yelling at Fauci. Okay, I haven't missed anything. Where is your tabernacle of meeting? Where is your tabernacle of meeting? Where is your tabernacle of meeting? Where is it? What time is it? Now, I'm probably going long. I get in trouble because I'm a disciplined kind of guy. I mean, I go to bed at a certain time. This gets me in trouble and I get talked to about this, okay? But you have to have some level of discipline in your life. You can't helter-skelter through the day, right? You can't, one day I get up at 6, the next day I'm getting up at 10, the next day figure it out. Figure it out. You know, the show's not that important. Turn it off. Get rid of it. If He's that important. So where is your tabernacle, the place of your divine meeting or appointment with the one who created you for specific plans and purposes? He's trying to train you. He's trying to get us somewhere. Okay? Are we moving more closely to the place like Moses and Joshua, or observing our relationship through the eyes of someone else? Or through the eyes of someone else. Psalms 18:30 says, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge, kasah, in Him. Well, I want to take refuge in Him because I'm going to be honest with you. I know we talk all brave sometimes about when the hard times come, how we're going to have the faith to get through them. I don't know. I'm not sure about that because we can't even decide whether we can drive to Shabbat some days. So when the real times come, I don't know if we're going to have it. But if I dwell in His secret place, and His word is flawless, He promises that He'll be a shield to those who take refuge in Him, who trust in Him. So I want to learn to trust in Him and abide in His presence, so when that day comes, I have that grace around me, because I'm going to need a little help.
Amen.
As much as I think I won't, I do. I do. I already need it.
So back to the scriptures in Exodus, just for a moment. And I only have 27 more pages and then we're finished. Moses and Jehovah were having a conversation, and we know that God was not happy with the golden calf incident, although He was telling Moses to move forward, right? He was telling Moses, okay, I'm not happy. So Exodus 33:13-15. Now indeed, if I have found favor in your sight, This is Moses. Please let me know you, your ways, that I may know you and find favor in your sight. Remember that this nation is your people. And the Lord answered and said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And that word there for rest is to get settled. We need to settle down. I think some of us are real restless at times. And we need to learn to settle down. Get planted. Get settled. Get organized. Get somewhat disciplined. Get settled with him. Don't always be in turmoil. He's saying, Moses, I'm going to settle you. I'm going to settle you. Settle down. But Moses is saying, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not lead us from here. So, we come back again to another Sukkot. And we've cycled through another year. And is that our prayer with the Almighty? If your presence doesn't go with us, Father, don't lead us from here.
Amen.
We need your presence. We need your guidance. And that's what I've been trying to convey today. And while lessons from teachers and Bible studies, I'm sure, can be beneficial, they cannot replace the knowing that occurs in the secret place of his presence. It can't.
Amen.
On my best day teaching you, it's... Get with him. He created you.
Amen.
Claudia, he created me and you.
Mm-hmm.
Get some help from Claudia and Janice and Pat over there. Thank goodness. We've come back around to another Sukkot. We have cycled through another year. Knowing there is a word we all know. It's Yada. It's Yada. We know that word. It's to know. It's to learn by personal experience. It's to be personally acquainted with. And it's the intimacy that occurs during the consummation of a relationship. That can only happen with you and him. That can only happen with you, and it can't happen with you through me. No. And Moses is crying out here. He didn't ask for the gig in the first place. And now he's stuck here with these folks that don't want to listen. And I know we said the song of Miriam, but yes, she was playing the tambourine, and she was charismatic for a minute. Then 3 verses later, they were stoning Moses because they were thirsty. It didn't take long. Moses is crying out, please let me know your ways that I may yada you. That I may know you differently now. He wants to know us differently now. Settle down with him. Turn the thing off. Figure it out. Get with him. Number one priority. Nothing else.
Amen.
That is it. He's crying out. God promises his presence. His face will go before Moses and he will settle him. But Moses is clear. If your presence don't go, don't lead us from here.
Yep.
What would be the use? And would we be bold enough to pray the same? A few verses later, in Exodus 34:22, Israel's instructed to keep the Feast of Ingathering. And you are to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, with the first fruits of the wheat harvest. And then he says, and the Feast of Ingathering at the turn of the year. So we're cycling back around, and that word, to turn there, is tekophah. Tekophah, it means a coming around. It means a circuit. It means we've circulated, and now we're getting ready to start over again. We are here. We're at that point. We've come back around to celebrate another Feast of Ingathering. But a question, did God's presence go before us last year? And if so, did we follow? Did we take refuge in the secrecy of his presence? Did we grow? Did we mature? Did we learn? Did we bear fruit worthy of repentance? When we repented, did we change?
And was there good fruit from it? Those in our lives know if it's good or bad. Ask them. We think it's always good. But the people that live with you will say, the apple has a rotten spot in it. So, I was thinking about this time last year. It was a challenge. Those of you that were here, many of us got COVID. Rich got it, and Patty and I got it, and Tom and Cornelia got it, and others got it, and we were trying to get ready to go to Sukkot, and it was a little chaotic. And then we did go up to Cloudland Canyon, and then for the first 2 or 3 days, it rained. So some of us were still coughing a little bit and trying to make the best of it, and it was raining bad, like not drizzling. It was raining, but it cleared up. It cleared up, and we had a decent time, a nice time. Okay? But when we returned, Tom asked if I would teach on Shemini Atzeret. So I looked back over that teaching this week, and I thought I would close with a few thoughts that I shared from Shemini Atzeret last year. So I'm kind of Shemini Atzeret's after Sukkot coming up. So put yourself, realize I'm talking about last year, but this is what I share. Will we stay back one more day? Will we restrain ourselves from simply jumping back into our normal schedules and routines? That's what's being asked of us and commanded by our gracious Father. Yes, we've closed out 7 days of Sukkot, but perhaps there is still some unfinished business. Perhaps there is one more thing that Jehovah would like to whisper into our hearts before we move back into the challenges of living a chaotic and challenging world. Shemini 8, Atzeret, meaning an assembly. The root of Atzeret is Atzar. It means to restrain, to hold back. It means to slow down, settle. Slow down with your schedules. Settle down. Say no to a few people. It's okay. It's okay to say no, right? If it's overloading you, it's okay to say no. Can't do it, right? Love you, but I can't do it. We'll get back to our normal schedules, but we're being asked to tarry with the Father for just one more day. To meditate and think on Him, His goodness, His faithfulness, and the fact that He can be trusted. We're going to take a step one day outside of time, one day removed from celebrating Sukkot, a rehearsal for the celebration we'll have in the future with our Messiah. Yes, we are closing out another cycle of the Lord's feast, like we are now. And we'll also be beginning a new cycle of Torah readings as we move into Simchat Torah. Simchat Torah, rejoicing in the Torah. Simchat meaning inner joy, contentment, peace of mind, spiritual growth. Of course, Torah, meaning instruction. It teaches us the way of life, how we're supposed to live as His covenant children. Will we step back into it? Will we step back into it? So we're closing out another cycle and moving into another. But before we rush into the next cycle, before we look at our iPhones and count down the sundown, we've been asked to restrain, to slow down, to enjoy one more day with our Creator. Perhaps He wants us to reflect for a few moments on the past week as we celebrated Sukkot. So as we're getting ready to go in Sukkot, maybe we should have that mindset that maybe He'd like to speak with us sometime this week and minister to us if we'll set aside some time with Him. And there usually is time. A few days before Sukkot, I'm still talking about last year, this is what I taught. I prayed for all of us, and my prayer was that we would not leave Sukkot the same way we entered. I asked the Father to reveal Himself to each one of us as individuals. We each have different needs and challenges, and my prayer was that He would speak to each of us based on the condition of our heart. It's always about the heart. And our words and actions reveal the condition of our heart. So before we just move back into the norm, I'll ask each of you to reflect back over this week and maybe over this year. Did our Father speak to you? Did He reveal to you any area that you need to work on personally? Are you holding unforgiveness? Are you holding any bitterness? Are you holding any self-hatred? Do you need to turn loose of some very old baggage that you've been carrying around for years? This would be a good time to do that. So, I'm moving to today. So as I close today and before we head off into Sukkot again this year, the prayer remains that we would not leave Sukkot or this week coming up the same way we entered it. The Father will reveal himself to each one of us as individuals, that he would meet with us if we'll make ourselves available and strengthen us for the challenges that we'll face for this next year. And there will be some. That we would have an undesiring and unquenchable desire to dwell and abide in the secret place of his presence. That we would all have an unquenching desire to dwell and abide in the secret place of his presence, keeping our minds on him and finding perfect peace in the protection of his tabernacle, of the tent of Moed. In your life, and as described in Isaiah 32:17-19, the work of the righteousness will be peace. The service of righteousness will be quiet confidence forever. My people will abide in a home of peace, in secure dwellings, and in quiet, undisturbed resting places. Nice. Though hail comes down on the forest, and the city is brought low in humiliation, will be protected in that eye of the storm. All right. So we're going to do something for a few minutes. I know I go long. I always do because I get excited. And is that okay? I mean, can we 5 more minutes?
Five more minutes.
I've asked Rich and Christiana just to cue up some songs. So a couple Paul Wilbur songs. And as before we just go into Oneg, and we're going to do that right after, and I'll just come up and say a prayer. Can we soak for 10 minutes? And just have that time between you and him, no one else, just your time with him, and just reflect back over this year, and as we get ready to go into Sukkot, what he'd like to minister to you today. So, you guys want to go ahead and start those.